Hey, welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. We are so excited to have you with us today as we do a sermon rewind.
Whoa.
That's new. Maybe we'll take that out. A sermon rewind and go over our messages. We landed the plane on Romans chapter 2. My name is Antonio. I'm here with Pastor Dan. Like, subscribe. Again, I got so encouraged this week. I had probably more people than usual. Special shout out to my guy Rudy, who came up and was like, man, yeah, I'm listening to these things every week. I had a few people encourage us at our trunk or treat,
which was a phenomenal event,
by the
way.
It's been a big week since
this week.
It was only 1 week from our last recording. But
it's crazy to think about what a difference this week has made, because we did do our largest outreach event of the year that reaches the most people from the community getting them on property, which is our trunk or treat.
Yep.
And we tell our church, we're not celebrating Halloween. We are not exalting the darkness. We're shining the light on a dark night. And thousands upon thousands, I guesstimate, probably over 10,000 people.
Right.
Because those lines were all the way from the back of the parking lot all
the
way out to
solid couple hours.
Waterman Avenue. Yeah, for hours and new people showing up. Yep. But it was peaceful. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
I heard a conservative estimate 1,700 people got saved at the event.
You did 12 altar calls.
That's crazy. I took it
every 5 minutes. I was, because we were coming in, moving them along, letting them in. Pretty much every 5 minutes, I'm doing a new altar call.
So for our listeners, we had a video plane that shared the gospel message, and then the altar calls that Pastor Antonio and then Pastor Donnie gave, I think he said 15.
Yeah, he did the second half.
And so, yeah, I mean, they would just come in and just give a brief, hey, if you've heard that message, you need to give your heart to the Lord, pray with me, and they prayed. And then we had follow-up materials available, and I think over 2,500, we ran out of materials.
Yeah, Pastor Joe was like, at one point, we had to stop giving them out.
Amazing.
So that was really cool. I mean, I think that's the most we've ever handed out.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that part was very exciting. Seeing the families, I know I got to be at my family did a setup. We got to participate as one of the trunks, and that was always fun.
That's so fun. Especially when your kids are little and even your nephew, I saw him out there. He was so excited.
Oh, man.
I was talking to your brother and sister, and they were just saying, man, he loves to serve. Like, He doesn't even want to go around and get candy. He wants to just hand out candy.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's a got preacher, that heart. Too. Is he?
He's a preacher. Wow. He does a co-op thing, and they in our group chat, they send videos of him doing his memory verses and him sharing with the other students. I mean, that guy, he's
very
something
cool.
Special. That
love
kid.
It.
Yeah, so.
Well, we'll have our eye on him for the future.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's awesome. And in other words, it was a great time to serve people, and like you said, reach out in our community.
Very blessed.
So,
speaking of community things, we had a big week in that we now have a new president to pray for and what's going on. We're hopeful for good things ahead.
Yeah.
I know that there are people that listen to this podcast that you may have voted one way or the other. We're not here for that.
Right.
But we are here to do what the Bible says, and we're going to pray for our leaders, believe God for great things.
Yeah.
And, I'm very hopeful, very hopeful for the future. But then I think in Southern California, speaking of community, one of the big things that happened in Southern California. Why don't you share?
I know where you're going.
I'll let you share the good news.
So the Los Angeles Dodgers are World Series champions for the 8th time in their history as a franchise.
Now, was the last time that happened 2020?
2020.
Yeah.
But they didn't get a parade in 2020.
That's right.
And this year's parade.
Which 2020 would have been the year to do a parade?
I know.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, no, it's funny because, you know.
Well, not only that, everybody's birthday was a parade and their graduation was a parade. I mean, what's wrong with the parade?
That's right. We did Angelina's graduation party as a parade. It was like just a drive-by.
Yeah, drive-by
parade.
Dodgers. You missed it.
That's true.
Man.
No, that is only in Los Angeles does the parade get held up by traffic. I was watching
that's
it
funny.
And they're like, in true Los Angeles fashion, it was supposed to start at a certain time, and they're backed up by traffic.
Yeah, you can't get through the 101 or whatever
it
was.
But it was a celebration, and it was a good day to be a Dodger fan.
I tell you, whenever I make a Dodgers reference in our church, I get so much love at the back door.
Oh, yeah.
When I give Angels references in our church, I get a little bit of love at the back door and a lot of hate.
I'm telling you.
I'm praying for y'all.
It's Dodger Blue community.
Through and through.
Oh, man. Well, it's been a week, and Pastor Dan, like we mentioned, it's been that reminded me. Sorry. We were talking about the Dodgers, and it made me think about it was a Wednesday night when the Dodgers won.
Yes.
And so we were actually in church.
We were.
And it made me think about superstitions. And I don't know if you're a superstition guy, if you're superstitious when it comes to anything. And I wouldn't say I'm superstitious about much. Ultimately, most for me in sports, and really, as I'm not like a professional athlete,
right?
But in watching sports, so as a fan, I get like, oh man, I can't. Especially this is where I told you I'm an ex-legalist. During church, if I feel like if I check the scores, we're gonna lose. So I have to like
God's
tell
gonna
my
punish you for checking the scores. Is that what's going
so,
on?
So yeah, I have to tell myself. And then so game one of the World Series, I was actually ministering.
Oh.
And so I told myself, oh, I'm not gonna. It was game one. It was a big night.
Yeah.
But I was not gonna check it. Not during worship. At no part was I gonna pull out my phone. And so as soon as I, and the Inland Empire shall be saved, I take my breath, I pull out my phone, and I pull it up, and that's when the Grand Slam happened. And it was pretty amazing. I was like, the Lord rewarded me.
That is
so
awesome.
So those are my superstitions when it comes to sports watching.
That's wonderful. I'm not a superstitious guy. You know, when I got saved, all of that stuff flew out the window. Yeah. You know, it's gone. Yeah. But, you know, I'm around sports people. I'm not a big follower of sports. Like, right. I've got my family's into sports, yeah. And so I enjoy watching a game and things like that. I enjoy rooting for a team. And I enjoy the food more than anything in the fellowship.
That's
but,
right.
But, in commercials. But, it was so funny because our CFO here at The Rock is from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And so he went home for a period of time, came back, and I've had people that know that I've worn, you know, funky socks and things like that over the years. I'm kind of getting out of that now, so please don't buy me any more socks. I don't need any more socks. I don't want any more socks.
Right.
But a guy, he brought me back some socks from Minnesota, the Vikings.
Yeah.
Vikings colors, all that kind of stuff, Argyle.
Yeah.
All that, and the Vikings logo on the side, and he said, here, I got this for you in Minnesota. I was like, oh, cool, you know. So not knowing that the Vikings were playing the 49ers on a Saturday morning, I threw the socks on for church.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to church, and I just need a pair of socks. So I was like, oh, I haven't worn these, so I threw them on. I take a picture, and I send it to Adam. Hey, I'm wearing the socks that you gave me, okay? Now, little did I know, he was on the road to San Francisco with Pastor Brian at the time. Now, Pastor Brian is a diehard San Francisco fan. So the Niners that day were playing the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah. So I didn't get a response from Adam. I get a response from Brian with the little emoji guy that's doing this number. Just slapping his head. And I was like, what the heck? You know, what's going on? And he's like, we're driving to the game right now, and you're wearing Minnesota Vikings socks. Now, the funny part of that story was that the Vikings lost. And so the next time they played,
don't wear the socks.
No, Brian was like, hey, can you wear the socks again? Like, just to make sure that they lose.
Yeah, like
that's the superstition, right? You wore them last time and they lost.
Yeah.
So apparently you're, you know, that's why Pastor Joel doesn't want to go to my son's football games, because every time he's gone, they've lost. It's a playoff game this coming week.
So
like, and
stay
so
away.
He's like, I'm coming. I'm like, well, this may be Micah's last game. So.
You know, and I don't know. You know, it is easy to. I think in athletics, they're big on that,
for sure.
Right? Whether they
there was baseball
they wear,
players that wouldn't even step on the lines.
Right.
They'd have to like do a little routine. Yeah. I mean, there's some. You look it up on the internet. You'll find some crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, the way how many times they put on their gloves or hit the bat. Like, you know,
won't wash a certain thing. And, you know,
that's fun.
Kind of gross.
But you don't have any of that for preaching.
I don't.
Oh, not as many people got saved. Can you imagine? And more people get saved when I do this, or I have to touch my Bible five times. You know?
And this is a great segue, but that is the danger of religion, right? Is that when we get into, if you will, dogma or, you know, superstition in the church, because it can weave its way in.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
You know, and say this prayer this many times, and then this will happen. You know, it's almost like those chain emails.
Yeah, right.
You know, and things like that. But even in you know, more... I guess you could say charismatic or Pentecostal circles.
Yeah.
You know, I know there was a period of time when I went to Bible college, one of our instructors pulled out actual letters that he'd received from ministries that if you put these socks on and walk around your house seven times and declare the promises of God, then you'll be blessed. And it was more about the religious activity than it was about faith in the promises of God.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think that's freeing for probably a lot of us who have a lot of that, because sometimes we are brought up in tradition. We use the word tradition, but another word could probably be superstition.
Superstition,
right?
Or religion.
It's not really, it's not really about the faith in the thing. It's about the action you did to get that blessing. Or, you know, I know people that come and they will drop off their tithe in a certain thing, or, you know, and they're little things. I'm not judging them. It's just like sometimes we got to kind of get ourselves out of our, sit in the same side, you know, and is it because Is it out of habit or is it?
Yeah.
We had a lady that one time, one of my friends told me, they said, hey, we came to church and like we were going to sit in a row. And so we sat down and a lady came running in after us and was like, oh, I'm sorry, can you guys scoot down two seats? And they were like, well, there's a seat right there, you know, like go ahead and sit with us, you know? And she's like, no, you don't understand. This is the seventh row and I need the seventh seat.
Oh, wow.
That's God's seat.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to sit in the seventh row in the seventh seat. And they were just like, so if that's you listening to the podcast, every seat is God's seat.
That's right,
and
yeah.
You're welcome to come. But, right. You know, it was more of a,
yeah,
you know, superstitious, just because the number of seat, like,
right. Yeah.
Who's and to say that's the seventh things. Seat of the seventh row?
What could you attribute that? Is just kind of human nature sometimes? Just our, kind of like our, in our mind, we think, you know.
You know, I think in one sense, yeah, it could be human nature in the flesh. In the extreme sense, it could be a demonic distraction,
mm.
right? Yeah. Because if the devil can get us distracted and off of faith,
yeah,
he's right. got us onto the flesh or onto, you yeah. know, a demonic principle.
Right.
That weaves in those superstitions into the church,
yeah.
you know, where it's vain repetitions of prayers and we're mm-hmm. ineffective and unproductive. Right. And then when those things happen, disappointment with God sets in and now we're out of church.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
Because why wasn't my prayer answered? Well, right. you know, you're asking amiss.
Well, I did everything I was supposed to do. I
yeah.
recited this X amount of times. And
right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Put on the socks and walked around my house like Jericho seven right. times. The yeah. walls didn't fall down.
Well, that really was a great segue because we are talking about, we did part two this week.
Yes.
Circumcision of the heart. You put me on blast from something we said at the conference. No, I thought it was
did.
Great. I thought it was yes. a great, it was a great illustration.
From the podcast last week.
That's right. Because, you know, giving the distinguishment between a tearing away and a precision, cutting. Intentional cutting away.
Yes.
Which I think really gave that. It really lit that up, like, oh yeah, no, because then you tear, and everyone goes, because you're talking about circumcision, like, yeah, please don't
you
tear.
You heard all the men go, oh, no, I didn't. Yeah.
So yeah, no, I think that is really cool because we could think like, oh yeah, like because a tear is a rush.
Yeah.
You know, like if you ever tear a page out, like you yeah. risk taking the wrong thing, you know, taking too much, and a precision cutting away. It is an intentionality. That's why they say surgeon's hands, right? You're careful. You're being intentional.
Yeah. yeah.
And that way it's less trauma as well.
Sure.
Right. Because there are these traumatic things that can happen.
So I had, it's kind of probably a gross illustration. I might share too much right now. So I apologize.
It's the podcast.
It's the podcast. No, but I had a bump on my tongue
mm-hmm.
and me being, you know, just my mind frame, I guess you can say. There's certain things that we fixate on or whatever yeah. or obsess yeah. over. And so for a long time, just because it was bugging me, I finally bit it
mm-hmm.
out, you yeah. know, like yeah. that. And the bump still
yeah.
was there.
Yeah.
And so I went and had it checked out at the doctor. And yeah. the doctor was like, you know, you bit this out, didn't you? Like, you yeah. know, almost like shaming me.
Yeah.
And he's like, you should have let us cut it away. It would have mm-hmm. healed better.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been better in the long run because when you tear it away, you're going to
oh, wow.
create more damage. But
yeah.
that cutting can heal better because of the precision. You're mm-hmm. not getting rid of healthy tissue. And,
right.
you know, then when we sew it up or whatever we do, you know, yeah. you're going to have a better healing process with it. Thank goodness it's in my mouth and
mm-hmm.
wasn't a big deal. But yeah. I would imagine it's probably that way for other things, you know, right. That if there is that precision and there is that clean cut or whatever it is,
yeah.
that there's a better healing process.
Right.
You know, and so I think when you apply that spiritually, that we're being precise, that mm-hmm. we're intentional about it.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about our heart is our responsibility. There's intentionality there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not just being haphazard and just ripping yeah. away whatever. You know, it's yeah. like no, there's a cut here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to determine this is not the best thing for me,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to cut that away.
Yeah,
right. It may not be bad.
Right.
Necessarily, we talked about that. Sin is easy. Mm-hmm. Sin needs to be cut. Right?
Right.
Jesus said, if your right arm causes you sin, cut it off. Right.
Yeah.
Pluck your eye out if it causes you to sin. Cast it away from you.
Yeah.
But there are other things that need to be cut that maybe it's not sin, but it's just not the best that God has for right. us.
Well, I mean, I think about, you know, when you say, well, we cut ties with people
because yeah.
there maybe are there certain relationships.
Yeah.
You don't want to rip those away because you don't want to burn bridges with people. You don't want to
sure.
do things. Now that I get there's abruptness and like, hey, we're cutting these ties. I can't hang out with you anymore.
If it leads to sin, it does
right.
have to be abrupt.
Right. But there still is a chopping. And I guess I'm kind of going, I don't want to drag out the analogy of
sure.
a rip versus a cutting. But I can see how, because our heart is our responsibility, we
right.
want to do things. And because I think one of the biggest things that we can do is, in the name of doing things for God, we do these things that actually hurt other people, or sure. like, and then it's kind of like, well, in your, because then you kind of can become a bad witness.
Well, and I think that can go both ways. Absolutely, definitely, when we do things without intent,
right,
and without care, mm-hmm. right, someone's going to get hurt in that
right.
process.
Right.
Ripping apart a relationship versus cutting off a relationship right. can be too. Mm-hmm. And I think, like you said, not to drag out the analogy, but at the same time, if you went to your friends in the world,
yeah.
you got saved, and you know that the relationship is going to cause you to sin, and
right.
you sat down with them, and you said to them specifically, hey, I'm following Jesus, and because of following Jesus, I'm no longer going to get involved in these activities,
right.
whatever that is,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And because of that, I can't be as close as I have been to you.
Right.
I'll be kind to you. If you're in need, I'll help.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not hanging out.
Right.
I'm not going to the bar. I'm not going to your bed. I'm not, you yeah. know, whatever that,
right.
that looks like.
Yeah. Right.
Or I just know myself, and I know where you guys are going. And if I'm around you, it's dangerous for me because I'm going to get into sin. And
mm-hmm.
so for that reason,
yeah.
because I'm following Jesus, I'm going to distance myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to call. I'm not going to be around, you know, and I know that's hard. Now, that hurts.
Yeah.
Cutting hurts, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But tearing is, hey, we haven't heard anything. You've just ghosted us. We
right.
don't even know why. Like,
yeah.
what's going on? And then they find out, oh, you become a Christian, so now
yeah.
that's how you act?
Right, right. Exactly.
That's a tear, right?
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
that's what you're talking about.
Exactly.
That's one side of that. The other side of that is that I know recently there have been some people who have been sharing their journey,
mm-hmm.
You know, in the church. They were in leadership, had moral failures, that sort of a thing. And so through the due process, were removed from leadership and had to go through that hard time.
Yeah.
Again, there was a cutting. It was
yeah.
intentional.
Yeah.
There was a reasoning behind it. They knew the reasoning. And you know, people want to jump on this bandwagon of church hurt
yeah.
and say, oh, man, the church just is the only one that wounds its own and this and
yeah.
that,
yeah.
not recognizing discipline and the need for
right.
that cut, the
yeah.
need for what that is. You know,
mm-hmm.
if we're really a holy, separate people
yeah.
coming out from among them, right?
right?
Then there is intentionality, and it has to happen. And so that's where sometimes people aren't going to understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people may judge us for our stance.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Right.
But it has to happen, right?
Right.
Otherwise,
yeah.
we're uncircumcised,
right.
you know?
Yep. Well, and I think, you know, it speaks to not that we are doing it for everyone's sake. And really, it's a protection of our heart. In our relationship with Jesus, because I think the other part, we kind of become slaves and people pleasers
yeah.
to, oh, well, I can't do this. Cause then you're kind of running in circles, making sure everyone else is okay. When
yeah.
the whole intent was to circumcise and to cut it.
Yes.
And to, again, go with the circumcision analogy here is for health.
Yes.
For its best in our moving forward with Jesus, to not be on the religious side or kick
yeah.
of these things that we are making a decision to follow Jesus. And
mm-hmm.
I know for those who are listening, we are doing this because we want to get better at that relationship. We are taking our relationship more seriously. You know, you listen to podcasts, you go to extra messages because you're building yourself up and equipping
right.
yourself to do these things. So those are also very intentional things.
Right.
Which kind of go into one of the next points of being faithful.
If we're cutting, what do
right,
we keep?
Right. Exactly. The keeping part.
The keep, yeah.
So what's a big thing on what we keep, Pastor Dan?
Well, we started with faith.
Right.
And and that's obviously everything that doesn't come from faith is sin. So what do we keep? We have to keep what the Word says to keep, right?
Right.
And I think that's the great thing about the Bible is that we see what to keep.
Mm-hmm.
We can see it but with the eye of faith. We walk
yeah.
by faith and not by sight. We have a vision of what life can look like when we follow God.
Mm-hmm.
And when we cut away that flesh that we don't need,
yeah.
and when we walk in the Spirit, which
yeah.
we desperately need,
right?
Now all of a sudden we know that heart of faith, we keep that heart of faith, but also that heart of faith keeps us.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And I think that's where we have to understand we're not cutting out things and looking longingly at what we've lost.
Mm.
We're looking to what we've gained through this process,
yeah.
right? We've
yeah.
gained the Spirit. Same thing with baptism, you know, it's a symbol of what's gone on the inside of us, that the old man is gone,
yeah.
but the new man has come. Look at what's come.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You know, we could sit and mourn a death. Oh,
yeah.
I can no longer go out and sleep
yes.
with whoever I
yeah.
want to,
right.
or I really enjoyed doing drugs. I like the trips that
yeah.
I was on,
right.
or, you know, man, I made so much more money by cheating and avoiding taxes than I do, you know, paying my bills and doing everything the right way. We could look at what we've lost and call that freedom, not realizing that that was bondage to the enemy and to the flesh. But rather than look at what we've lost, my goodness, you know, when you, again, to use the circumcision analogy, that's a little bit of flesh.
Yeah.
It's not a lot.
Yeah.
And it's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no use for it. It's just additional skin.
Right.
So when it's cut away, no one's sitting there sad looking at it.
Right.
Right. There's a little bit of pain involved in it, and it sticks around for a little while.
Yeah.
But what have we gained? Well, now that's cut away, there's benefits and advantages to it. So we look at our lives now as raised again with Christ, man, the advantages that we have, eternal advantages. That's where our faith kicks in, and we can see what we've gained.
Yeah.
And then looking at the scriptures, man, we keep all of those things, and they'll keep us.
Yes. And I love that part because it's...
I should have preached that this weekend. That was good, man.
No, I mean, it keeps us because of the covering that we now have.
Yes.
Right? We are now in protection. We are in covering. I was just talking with a friend who's in a transition of local churches, and they're talking about how, and who would have thunk it, being in submission in a house is protection.
Yes.
Right? Not, you know, having to go to a new community, you know, where like, oh, yeah, no one's gonna wonder what you're up to. But no one's gonna be there to pray for you. No one's gonna be there to keep you accountable.
Yeah.
No one's gonna be there to cover you. So like, hey, you got to get plugged into a house. You got to have covering. Oh, what do you know? Submission is a great thing.
Blessing.
That we submit our lives and have people that are keeping us accountable. Those are things that we gain when we take away from so-called liberties and freedoms, which is everyone's out of my business. Right. Mm-hmm. That sounds like freedom. No one's in my business.
Yeah.
But then again, we gain having someone to be there with us who knows us.
Yeah.
As there's brothers, you know, James talks about that. There's healing when we confess sins one to another, and and the bond that we have that God's created us for in community. I do want to kind of transition to, there was a specific image. You put up an image on the screens, but also the imagery was very powerful as you explained the story. And it was in the last point, I believe, when you went from having faithful to faithful.
Yes.
And what that looks like, and it's the full balance. And so the image, well, how about you set up the image?
So I used an illustration, and as I was studying this out, there was two different illustrations. Mm-hmm. As oftentimes with stories over the years, people tell the story when they're preaching, and they don't either remember the story the right way, or they change it or whatever. So in looking and researching the story, I don't know if the story is true or not,
right.
Number one. In one version, they used the Tsar of Russia. Mm-hmm. In another version, they used Constantine, mm-hmm. the Emperor of Rome. And then I looked it up online and found people that said that the story never happened. Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't find any historical evidence. So I told the story just to illustrate the point. And the story was that there was a ruler who had won victories, created a nation, united his nation, and needed an heir. So he needed to get married, found an heir in Greece from the king of Greece's daughter. But in order for him to marry the king of Greece's daughter, he had to become a part of the Greek Orthodox Church.
Right.
Now, that came from the story that the Tsar of Russia was the man that was doing that. And it was supposed to be in the 1500s.
Okay,
so that's where contextually I kept elements of the story.
Right.
I probably could have done it a little bit better job of,
well, you get the continuity of it based on.
Yeah. And that's where why I qualified the story by saying, I don't know if this story's true or not, you know, because I don't want people thinking that the story's true, but the illustration, it was applicable for what we were talking about. And so it was saying that when he went to get baptized into the Greek Orthodox Church, that his loyal soldiers wanted to follow him into baptism, but being soldiers, the Greek Orthodox Church wouldn't baptize them if they were knowingly going to still kill afterwards. And so the way that they diplomatically came to a solution of that is that they removed their sword from the hilt while they were being baptized, and they left their arm out of the water as they were baptized.
Right.
So with the unbaptized arm, they would kill,
but
with the rest of their body, they were Greek Orthodox,
Yeah.
And we made the point, that doesn't work, right? You can't have an unbaptized arm. Either you either you is or you ain't.
You know, as silly as not checking the scores during church and hope that your team wins, right?
For sure. Yes, but or that they get a grand slam. Right. When you're obedient. But yeah, no. So and we talked about how, you know, spiritually speaking, we can't have unbaptized eyes that want to look at pornography. Yes, we can't have an unbaptized ear that wants to listen to gossip.
Yeah.
Can't have an unbaptized hand or arm that wants to reach out and do harm to its neighbor, or unbaptized feet that will rush into evil. Mm-hmm. So we talked about that baptism has to be submersion completely, right?
Yeah.
Spiritually speaking, you know, and the natural elements are less, a part of that whole equation. Than really the reality of faith behind it. Like we said, religion and rituals without the reality of faith is nothing. Okay.
Exactly.
But the question gets brought up then.
Right. So you have this military person. They couldn't be baptized because they were going to kill, which was part of their job, their service to their nation.
Their occupation.
Right. It's as old occupation as their... is. I mean, and historically, you know, there's soldiers, there's army people, and that's kind of what they do. They go to war, they defend their nation.
Right.
It's noble in a lot of ways. I mean, I know that there's, because they're defending a vision, a cause, and a nation.
Sure.
So, Pastor Dan, is that something that your statement, I know, was not saying, well, to be baptized, you have to be this, right?
So, yeah, I guess to put it more specifically, the question would be asked, is being a soldier incompatible with being a Christian?
Right.
And the answer to that is no, obviously, right? Because we understand that. I'll give three illustrations. One is in Joshua. Mm-hmm. The nation was called to go in and possess the land, which meant that there was a military campaign that they had to fight.
Yeah.
And God gave Israel victory over their enemies because of the sin of the people that were there before them, right?
Yeah.
So they were executing God's judgment. And that's where a lot of people have a hard time reconciling the commandment, thou shalt not murder, with a military campaign.
Mm-hmm.
One example. Second example, Jesus. Before he goes to the cross, he's speaking with his disciples. He says, before I sent you out without a money bag, without an extra pair of shoes, you didn't take a sword or anything like that. And did you lack anything? And they said, nothing, Lord. Right. He says, but now I want you to take a money bag. I want you to take an extra pair of shoes. And if you can get a sword, get one. And they said, hey, we've got two swords here. And he says, that's enough.
Yeah.
Settle down. That's how I pick. I don't know if that's really.
You don't need an arsenal. Yeah,
when I read it, I'm like, simmer down, boys, simmer down. You know, we're not going into a military campaign.
Right.
But Jesus told his disciples to carry a sword. So some people have a problem with people carrying guns or having guns.
Right.
But why did Jesus tell them to carry a sword? To defend themselves? Right? There would be peril.
Right.
The Apostle Paul talked about peril in you know, his
pirates
travels.
Pirates were a big deal, right? Or
piracy, theft.
I'm going to say bandits, right? Like, you know,
on the road?
Yeah.
Bandits is a good word.
Yeah.
You know, things that took place. And so he told them, hey, you need to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. And then the final example, Romans chapter 13. In fact, I'll break out my trusty Bible app here. It says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what's good, and you will have praise from the same. Verse 4, for he's God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. So police officers, military personnel, they don't have a gun for no reason.
Right.
In other words, they're using the gun as ministers, or really the word should be servants,
because
ministry is any service you do for people, right? Mm-hmm. So he's God's servant for the people for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he's God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil.
Mm.
So, and then he goes on to talk about you pay taxes for that reason too. Right. It's not evil to pay taxes. Jesus paid taxes, you know?
Yeah.
So no, it's not incompatible. The point of the illustration was not to say that we can't be a soldier or a police officer or, you know, National Guard or whatever it is, you know, any of the armed forces and not be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most wonderful godly Christians I know, mean, that are protecting me, know, they're sitting in our, and not just me, our whole congregation. We have a safety team that, that is watching over our congregation, military and police personnel, and I honor and love them. And so I hope nobody had that thought.
No, and I think that's an important clarification, Pastor, because, you know, while it might not have been, you know, some of those things kind of go over our heads if you're not thinking that way. But if you are in that world or have family in that world, that might have been the first thing you thought of. Like, are you saying that?
Yeah.
And I think it is a good clarification. Because
now to drive the point home, if we're expecting that I'm a Christian, but I can shoot people, or I can murder people, or I can stab. Come on.
Well, because it makes me think of even in the invitation each week. A little in, a little out. Or I'm going to keep this, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to everything.
I'm a Christian,
but right. Everything but this. And this is, you know, I just sin a little over here. Yeah. It doesn't hurt anybody.
T-shirts have been printed with that. I'm a Christian, but I cuss a little. Right. You know, or whatever it is. And,
exactly.
And I'm like, you know, the Apostle Paul in Romans later on, when he talks about, shall we sin the grace may abound?
Right.
By no means, right? Yeah. And then those that say we're going to sin so that the grace will overcome in a greater way, he says their condemnation is just.
Right.
And that's how I feel about some of those statements when they're blatant,
right?
Like when you get punished by God for that, or when you get corrected, it's
like
it's reasonable.
Clear. Yeah, and we see it in Scripture.
Your spanking was right, you know. So whatever
Good. Well, Pastor Dan, so we I don't want to say breeze because I don't want to make it seem like we're just being flippant, but we have gone through these chapters, and when I say relatively quickly, I'm going through. Being sitting in the church for over 20 years,
yes,
line upon line, I love we're going line upon line, verse upon verse, precept upon precept, which precept is it's kind of like thought.
The precept
upon
is
thought.
Full thought,
right. And I'm really enjoying the speed in terms of we get the full thought and it's full. Not that we weren't doing that before, but these kind of bigger chunks paint a full picture,
right.
And I'm really enjoying this, but we are going to be going into chapter 3.
Yeah.
But everything is so, again, because if you don't know this, maybe you're newer to faith, newer to the Bible, these verses weren't in there at the beginning, right? These chapters and verses weren't the numbers there upon, so it was kind of a continuous letter or a thought.
Right, yeah.
And so there's not like this break and, you know, turn the page, you know, that's not, it's not always a clean break like that, but you come to an end of a thought. And sometimes we'll find, and I'm sure we'll see that here in chapter 3, it's just going to be a continued flow.
You know, I view chapter 1 and 2 as the surface streets that get us to the freeway.
Oh, here we go. Cool.
But in chapter 3, about midway through the chapter, we're going to hit LA traffic.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Because there's a whole lot
there. Well, that's how, again, it's good food.
Yeah, it's good food. And we're going to take some slow... you know, concise time in these chapters because there's some huge concepts that we're coming to, words that we don't use in a lifetime, some of us, you know, propitiation.
Mm-hmm. What would be something, Pastor Dan, as we find these concepts, it's kind of, you know, we've talked about this, I think, on the podcast before, where it's one thing in class, you get the concept because the teacher's there, then you go home for the homework and you're confused.
Yeah.
So someone's going through these things, and we always encourage people to read their Bible,
right?
More than just when you're at the sermon. So when someone finds themselves confused about, you know, they read ahead and they kind of come to this place, what are some things that a safe thing that, you know, you as a pastor would encourage us to do, you know, because you could just Google something, but where would be a good guideline? Yeah. You know, there's not a Ask Pastor Dan, you know, pop up on the YouTube or on the podcast when we're re-listening.
Well, I'd encourage a couple things, some easy things to do. Number one is reading different English translations.
Mm, that's good.
Or if you speak Spanish, read in Spanish translation, you know, or whatever language is your native tongue. But for English speakers especially, we have a wealth of scripture and a wealth of translations. You know, there's so many of them out there now. And based on different original documents written in different times.
Yeah.
But all saying essentially the same thing, but sometimes with older translations, it can be hard the way that they translated it. Mm-hmm. So you get some of the newer translations, whether it's New International, New American Standard, New Living Translation, you know, and then even at times a paraphrase can help. The Message sometimes is as beautifully and poetically written as it is, and people say, oh, they lost the meaning. There's been times where I haven't really gotten the point of a scripture. And then when I read the paraphrase, I went, oh, wow.
Yeah.
He said that really well.
Right. You get the full picture, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so sometimes, obviously, we're not going to rely on a paraphrase right. as much as we would a translation. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it can help us to understand. So that's one good thing. Another one is find a good study Bible that has either chain references where you can reference other scriptures that speak about the same thing, or that has a reliable commentary. So, for instance, I like the New Spirit-Filled Life study Bible. Yeah. It's a great one. All of the contributors were godly people, pastors and leaders in the body of Christ with integrity. And the general editor was Jack Hayford, who very reliable and crossed over conservative and charismatic and that sort of thing. I mean, just respected by everybody, ran his race, finished well.
Amen.
You know, but he gathered solid leaders and some great men and women of God that have something to say. And so there's some beautiful commentaries that are in that Bible, as well as word wealth to explain the Greek and the Hebrew, the Aramaic, whatever it is, you know. Yeah. And then as well, he put his notes on the bottom of the scriptures to explain some of those hard to understand sections of scripture. Yeah. So that'd be another good place that I would go to. And then finally, you know, email us at the church.
Yep.
There's 14 pastors on staff. And, no, you know, you can ask Pastor Dan a question through the comments, through those sorts of things. But also, you know, send us an email and one of us can sit down at some time and shoot you a great answer. So, you know, those would be some great ways that I would say.
Right. Well, in these times, we want to be biblically literate people.
Yeah.
We're not creating a demand for something that there's not a supply for, right?
Sure.
It's not just come to church for the to find out. You know?
Let me say one final thing, and that is what the Bible says. Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells Timothy, if you're not clear on anything, then pray and God will make that clear to you.
Well, have you heard the saying, the Bible is the only book that you get to sit down with the author?
Oh, man.
Right? That's such a cool thought, right? Like, we have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit can show us and we can pray. I love to pray before we get into scripture. Like, all right, God, what are you saying here?
Yes.
And there are times, I don't know about you, I mean, I'm not as, but I get confused sometimes. And I'm like, and that's why I'll look at another translation, like, God, what does this mean?
Yeah.
What were you trying to say here? And the Holy Spirit will often counsel us into clarity and help with that. So that's cool.
It's wonderful. Hey, I just wanted to take a moment and say that today's podcast was brought to you by Girls Night Out.
That's right.
Coming your way soon. I'm using the cup from a couple years back. This one has a big wide hand grip that for men.
Yes.
I know these are the women's cups that they get, and there is a new cup coming to you, ladies.
Come on.
So I know some of you guys got the whole collection, but make sure to sign up for Girls Night Out now.
Saturday, December 7th.
I was telling Jess, I think they're going to sell out.
I think so.
Man.
So that would be cool. I mean,
3,000 ladies.
That is going to be
descending
something.
On this campus for
and
girls night.
And so if you're a single
Christmas.
Man, maybe come serve.
Yes. It'd be amazing.
Just don't look at married women. I don't know. That was weird, man.
Wow.
We'll see you guys.
With that.
Maybe I won't be here, but you guys will.
Love you guys.
Love you guys. God bless you. We'll see who stays tuned all the way.